In 1989, if you can cast your mind back, I was a graduating senior at Frederick High School, then a much more rural place than it is now. And I had always thought of myself as Luke Skywalker, stuck in the backwaters of a small town when I should be like following the airplanes across the sky that I would see flying from one important place to another. And I wanted to go be somewhere, do something. I was really passionate about politics, especially. And I was also a different kind of nerd that doesn't exist as much anymore, called a book nerd or a bookworm, which is sort of like somebody, a geek who works with dead trees. But anyway, so that was kind of my passion. And there's, I hated middle school as much as anyone. You did have to wear the right OP shorts. You did have to have the right friends and feathered back hairstyle in those days. But by the time I got to high school, things were really pretty cool. I was definitely an outsider, but tolerated, and I had really, really good friends who happened to be from all over the world for some reason. Cash and Miriam and Bill and Matt and Peter, we would get together and talk politics and argue. At that time, I was sort of a democratic socialist. I was really concerned gravely about the Contras and apartheid and all kinds of injustices. I was somehow allowed to walk around my high school one day wearing a jean jacket with an American flag pinned upside down on the back as a symbol of distress, of concern for the country. I argued with my social studies teacher, Mr. Bellman, ad infinitum. We would have shouting matches all through class. He was sort of a outspoken conservative, and I was a pinko. But I loved it. I loved the argument. Something funny though happened though. Like around that junior year, I read *The Fountainhead* by Ayn Rand, and I came back the next fall a devout libertarian. So I would have had arguments with Mr. Bellman, but about different things. I really wanted to pursue this political passion I had. I wanted to go off to fight the great battles and have great debates and be with thousands of people who are just like my dear friends that I hung out with the most in high school. So I picked college to go to, Wesleyan University, which is, one of the most left-wing colleges in America, besides like Reed, Oberlin, and a few others. But it's a wonderful place. I got there in the fall of 1989, and if any of you remember your pop culture, that was the year of Do the Right Thing, Public Enemy, Fight the Power. New York City is a powder keg of racial tension. Apartheid is coming to a head. There's a campus divestment movement, affirmative action, multiculturalism. I heard for the first time something called political correctness in that first year. So that it was a great time. I thought, all right, lots of people to argue with. And I'm against the establishment, too. We're going to have a blast. Well, we did have a blast. I'll get to that in a moment. But I started my Ayn Rand club, and the first issue of the campus paper had the headline, Frosh Ayn Rand Fan. So I was a little notorious. It got a little uncomfortable because, suddenly everyone knew who I was, and I had no idea who anyone else was. And things started to get a little awkward. The atmosphere on campus was getting increasingly militant. And one of the hot issues was divestment from South Africa. The university brought Helen Suzman, who's one of the heroines of the struggle against apartheid. She was the sole dissenting member of the South African parliament. She was friends with Nelson Mandela, but she was opposed to divestment and sanctions. So she was the enemy on campus. I, being a middle-class kid from Frederick, had my work-study job, and I was given the assignment of going to the library, which is what we did to research then, to find out where these horrible quotes about Helen Suzman by her were coming from. And it turned out they were all fabricated and distorted and a tissue of lies. So I was outraged. This was my Luke Skywalker moment. I was one of these people who's a member of the Straight Guys Who Like Musical Theater to some extent. So the night of Helen Suzman's talk, when she was being picketed, I psyched myself up in my room listening to Les Miserables and imagining myself as, you know, Cyrano de Bergerac fighting off lots of people with my arguments. And so we went. There was this huge chaotic scene. I'll abridge it a little bit, but there was a whole horde of students said that they would not let Helen Suzman speak. And I, all my neurons fired, all my outrage fired, I said, "How dare you defy her freedom of speech?" Or something like that. I don't really remember anymore. The rest is kind of a blur, but she eventually got through it. And I wrote up an article with my outrage, you know, explaining all the distortions. And I said, and all these protesters practiced sort of this tribal groupthink that caused them to all think alike. I used the word tribal. From that point on, I was a racist and, worse than Jesse Helms, blah, 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 blah. And it was a little scary. And then the guy who called me a racist got a threatening letter. And then I started getting harassing phone calls and then one night, there was a message on my machine that said, "You're fucking dead, Hazlett. You're fucking dead." And it stopped being really funny. The heroism that I imagined was kind of becoming a little too real. It wasn't heroism. It was just fear, I guess. But I did take karate, just in case. I became a yellow belt, so I can take anyone 6-year-old who's taken karate. But it turned out I had a wonderful time. I met my wife. I met friends for life. And some interesting things happened. The president's office was firebombed. One of the student activists was put on trial for it. Another student activist was murdered by the son of a Wesleyan faculty member. But that's kind of another story. But thank you.